Good morning. This is Stuart Bunnell from the Shone FM Newsroom, and this is the latest interview in our 2025 territorial election series, where we'll be speaking with party leaders and Indigenous candidates from each of the three parties. Today, we're speaking with Carcross Tagish First Nations citizen and Yukon Party candidate for Riverdale North, Rose Sellers. She is the Indigenous Partnerships Manager with the Yukon Environmental and Socioeconomic Assessment Board and has 12 years experience sitting on General Counsel with CTFN. Today is also a doubleheader where we also have Yukon Party Campaign Chair and current MLA for Porter Creek North, Geraldine Van Bibber, joining us in the conversation. They both join me live today in studio. Rose, Geraldine, thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yake Kwasatini, Stuart.
Brilliant. Now, Rose, we're going to start with you. What drove you to run as a candidate with the Yukon Party?
I decided to run. Why the Yukon Party? I was asked to run, actually, by all the parties, and I had to determine if I wanted to run after my try for Grand Chief, and then which party I would run for. So I'd asked some First Nation elders and some friends and if I should run, and was told, yes, we need more First Nation people in territorial politics. And so I thought, okay. Others said, why would you want that headache? So, but I thought, you know, I decided I'm one of those people who said, you know, if you're going to complain about government and say, why didn't they do this or they should have done it this way, then and if I was one of those people, I should put my money where my mouth is, and I decided I should run. So after many discussions with the party leaders and talks, I decided that the Yukon Party was a better fit for me. I thought I could make change within the party as well as within Yukon, I hope. And, yeah, felt like I had good discussions with the leader, Curry Dixon, about where he wanted to take the Yukon Party, and it aligned a bit more with what I wanted to see for the Yukon.
Brilliant. And you know what? It's nice to see that that mentality of not giving up and deciding that if there is something that can be done, might as well do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really brilliant to see, especially at a time in the world where it is so easy to just sit back, complain, and not do anything, which I am guilty of. Now, in the announcement for your nomination, you said that you believe that no one person holds all the answers and that it takes collaboration to move the Yukon's priorities forward. How would you go about collaborating with diverse perspectives in the Yukon Legislative Assembly?
I would hope that I'm the kind of person who I know everybody, all the people who most of the people that are running, and I think I'm a friendly person, and I like to talk to people. So I think with all the discussions, I would be open to discussing it with no matter what party stripe, is just having discussions and saying, what do you think about this? And where are you at with that? And what do your constituents think about this? And I'm one of those people who take all those facts and considerations and then determine a way forward that kind of hopefully meets the needs for everyone.
Yeah, and those diverse perspectives, that's not just talking about, you know, you've got Yukon Party perspective, you've got Liberal perspective, you've got NDP perspective, but it's about listening to other voices that are out in the communities that aren't necessarily being represented in the Legislative Assembly. Am I correct in that?
Yep. Perfect. Definitely. Yeah, I'm totally an open, I'm available for anybody who wants to talk, and doesn't matter who they voted for, or if they didn't vote and they have something that they want to talk or get off their chest or need help with, I would be one of those people who they could come to and say, can you help me with this? And I would try my best.
Yeah, a bit of a people's champ kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know what, that's good. That's one of those things that it's nice to know that there are people who are in your corner. You know, and that's definitely something that I like to see during election season.
That's cheesh, yeah.
Yeah. Geraldine, I'm going to chat with you a little bit. After 8 years, you decided not to run for re-election, but rather than step away from politics entirely, you're serving as the campaign chair for this election. Firstly, how does it feel to be tackling this election in a different way from the last couple elections you did?
Well, it feels like I'm still involved, and I'm hoping to be as helpful as I can be, supporting people like Rose when she's doing a radio interview, knocking on doors, just being an all-round helper and making sure the Yukon Party is heard.
Brilliant. And you know, why was it important for you to continue working with the Yukon Party throughout this election?
Well, I decided to retire. Finally, the word comes out. I still want to be involved in a small way to ensure that the Yukon is still a vibrant place for us to live and to raise our children and take care of our elders. The Yukon is a special place. I was born and raised here, and I think that Yukon Party has most people's thoughts and ideas at heart, and we will try to address them.
Fantastic. And now this is a question that I'm going to open to both of you. How does it feel to know that the Yukon Party has the most First Nations candidates in not just this election, but if I'm understanding correctly, any Yukon election? How does it feel to be part of that team?
That's amazing, actually. I'm really happy that Curry was able to get out. He said he wanted to make change in the Yukon Party, and he wanted people to see it with the candidates that were coming forward. And so I think he really went out there and put himself out there to find candidates. And I'm so happy that he was able to find as many good First Nation candidates as he has.
First Nation candidates, women candidates, Filipino candidates. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good round of 21 people who, you know, for various reasons have decided to step forward and be part of this change. And change happens now.
Yeah, and that was something else that I was reading. This is the most female candidates in any election, yes. I believe it was,
yes. Uh-huh.
Something like 44% of candidates are women.
Uh-huh.
Does that make you a bit more, I don't want to say enthusiastic or confident, because those aren't quite the right word, but does that give you a little bit of hope for the future of the territory, having more women involved in politics?
Definitely. In our culture, of course, women were the matriarchs of our communities and our families, and so that was the women that we would go to talk about decision-making, and the men were the spokespeople, but really it was the women behind the scenes that really made the decisions on for us and made our families more cohesive and not so disagreeable, I guess, is if you want to put it that way in today's politics. So I'm really happy to see the amount of women. I think it's really great that this many women have stepped forward, because women tend to have a different way of thinking than men, I think. So I think with that equilibrium, it will be a good mix.
And to the Yukoners, people who are born here, mm-hmm. who know the history, who are part of the growth of Yukon to date, I think it's very important.
Absolutely. And you know, having the women running the show and the men being the spokesperson, that reminds me an awful lot of my relationship, which I'm very, very excited about. just to be clear, I'm very excited. But you know what? She's absolutely the brains behind that. Anyway, that's a little bit off topic. Let's let's jump back into it here. We are running out of time just a little bit, so I've got one more question. Rose, we're going to bring back to you for this last one. What can First Nations and Indigenous voters expect from you should you make it to the Yukon Legislative Assembly?
They can expect me to be respectful and maintain decorum for my community and my First Nation and my culture, my clan. I'm very, I'm not one to shy away from topics and to speak up, and so I would definitely be an advocate. I'm very strong with First Nation rights and the environment, and I will not let the party forget about those things. I will say, you know, the party, the governance of First Nations for the party has been important. I know Curry spoke about this, but Yukon Party government has learned from previous experiences, and they commit to working with First Nation leaders, continuing to hold, you know, Yukon forums, working with First Nation governments to develop the agendas for those meetings, as well as joint multi-year Yukon forum strategy. and partnering with the First Nations in Canada, you know, the tripartite agreements to the Umbrella Final Agreement, and the boards and committees to help them do what they were made to do, hopefully. And so we also need to unlock investment opportunities for First Nations governments and businesses by creating a clear policy of allowing and encouraging genuine equity investment and partnerships. So, yeah, the UConn Party is definitely willing to work with First Nations and talk to them and be there and have that open dialogue. And I want to make sure that I'm there to help facilitate that.
Fantastic to hear. I'm afraid that we are out of time today. Rose Sellers, Geraldine Van Bibber, thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.